Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through thy Holy Spirit as members of thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee through the same Son of thy love, that thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may then acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome the devil and all his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one and only true God. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou would have mercy upon us, and O grant that which has been signed and sealed upon these children may, through thy wondrous grace, be applied unto their souls. We pray thee, O God, to wash us and to cleanse us in the blood of Jesus, to sanctify us through thy Spirit, that we may live to thy praise and to thy honor and to thy glory. O God, we confess our dependence upon thee. We acknowledge, O Lord, that without thee we can do nothing. And therefore we pray thee that thou wilt be pleased to grant unto these parents, who in this most solemn and public manner have paid their vows unto thee, that thou wilt be pleased to grant unto them the grace that they need, that they may indeed instruct these children, that they may teach them concerning the glories of the covenant of thy grace, and also of the obligations that rest upon them. O Lord, wilt thou help them? And we pray that thou wilt help all those whose duty it is to instruct children. We pray thee for the parents and for the teachers in this church. O Lord, wilt thou help them? Grant that their obligations may weigh heavy upon them, that they may often be brought upon their knees for thy help. O Lord, do thou have mercy upon us, and in these loose and frivolous days, grant, O God, that we who profess to be members of the Church of God and have submitted ourselves unto the discipline and rule of thy Church may remember the obligations that thereby rest upon us. O Lord, may we value and prize these blessings. Grant us to see, O God, that this place is where thine honor dwells, that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, there thou art in the midst of them. O, we are reminded once again of the great grace which thou hast shown unto us in this way. What a marvel it is that in spite of all the sin and corruption of man, almost for 2,000 years thou hast preserved thy church, and we in this century are yet able to meet in a gospel church, where thine ordinances and worship is, and where Christ is present by the power of his Spirit. Oh Lord, may we value these privileges, and may they move us to repentance, that we may humble ourselves before thee for the grace that thou hast shown unto us in this way. Oh Lord, we pray thee that thou wilt be with us, that thou wilt not take these privileges from us, in spite of our daily provocations, but yet thou wilt have respect unto thine own covenant, and unto the promises made unto thy Son, that he should have a people even to the end of the age. O Lord, wilt thou hear us as thus we pray? We beseech thee, O Lord, that thou wilt bless unto us thy holy word. O grant that we may be instructed, wilt thou teach us? Thou art the great prophet of thy church, O instruct us. And grant that, like Mary, we may sit at thy feet and learn of him who is meek and lowly of heart, that we might find rest unto our souls. Lord, hear. Lord, be with us, and pardon our sins. For Christ the Redeemer's sake. Amen. With the promise that he would place his hands upon them and bless them. They were, of course, familiar with this practice of the placing of hands upon children and blessing them. You remember how Joseph brought his children unto Jacob, put one to his left hand and one to his right, and sought his blessing. And Jacob blessed them and prayed that his name should be put upon them. And so these parents, accustomed to this practice, a practice which it would be well to revive in our midst, these parents, every Sabbath evening, would solemnly cause their children to come before them and to kneel down and to ask their parents to bless them in the name of the Lord, and they should place their hands upon them and beseech God that he would bless them indeed. A very solemn practice. Well, anyway, these parents were accustomed to this, and so they brought their children unto Jesus with this prayer. And many had come to Jesus about many things. Some came for their bodies, some for their souls. Some came for themselves, and some came for us. And thus was fulfilled the prophecy that unto Shiloh should the gathering of the people be. And so on this occasion, we read that they brought young children unto him, that he would touch them, that he would lay his hands upon them in blessing. And this narrative tells us how they succeeded in their request. It is recorded by the three evangelists, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And hence we see immediately that this is a most important matter that has been revealed. There is teaching here of tremendous importance. For you see, it shows that in the New Testament, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ designed to continue unto little children the same covenant right and visible church membership that had been theirs under the old covenant. As such, he says, is the kingdom of God. And by that, of course, he means to say that little children are included in the church that he had come to earth to set up. That little children that had been included amongst the children of God as members of his church under the Old Testament are hereby recognized to be included amongst the members of his church under
of a new covenant.
Forbid them not, he says, to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. And you must judge, my friends,
who are most like to the disciples,
and who are most like unto Christ, who forbid little children to receive the signs and seals of the covenant of grace, not recognizing their right to be members in his church. Whether such people are more like to the disciples who forbade these little children to be brought unto him, or more like to him who said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. They came seeking that he would put his hands upon them and bless them, and that he exceeded by far their expectations. So with much endearing tenderness, he lifted them up and embraced them, put his hands upon them, and solemnly gave them his blessing, far above their expectations. But you will remember that as these parents came with their children, that the disciples were forbidding the parents to come. They thought that this was an intrusion upon the work of their Lord and Master. He was too much exalted to have any dealings with little children. His work was of such tremendous importance that he could not be bothered with a few parents bringing their little children, asking for a blessing. Why, if we were to continue this practice, you'd have everybody coming with their little children. No, in a mistaken sense for his honor, they had failed to understand the great compassion and pity that was in the heart of their Lord and Savior. You see, they didn't still know him. They didn't know who he was, really. And they had not yet been able to comprehend the wondrous compassion that was in his heart for sinners, whether they were old or whether they were little children. They thought that they were respecting his honor, that they were guarding his glory, but really they were taking away from his glory. It is his glory as Redeemer and Savior to permit sinners of any age to come unto him. What a blessing indeed it is for us that the heart of Christ has much more compassion than the hearts of his children or his ministers. They should have been advocates for these parents. They should have come pleading that God would, that Christ would fulfill their request. And instead they acted as it were the adversaries of the parents. Oh, let us be careful, lest in a mistaken zeal for his glory, we would circumscribe the ministration of his love and of his pity. Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. He was angry with his disciples. He was pained and grieved at heart. He sternly rebuked them, because they had completely failed to understand what was in his heart. Well, we must ask ourselves, what encouragement may we find for us in this narrative? How may we bring our children unto Jesus? And what favor may we expect that he will show them? You know, Christ has promised his gracious presence with his church unto the end of the age. And he is here this morning by his Spirit. If there are but two or three of his people that are gathered together in his name, here he is in the midst of us. And we may surely come to him in a spiritual manner, as those parents were able to bring their children unto him in the days of his flesh. We shall speak then to these two things: how we may bring our children to Christ, and secondly, what favor may we expect that he will show them. Firstly then, in what way may we in this present day bring our children unto Christ? Well, the first thing I suggest to you is this: that we may bring our children to Christ by solemnly surrendering them unto him as their rightful Lord. And this is, of course, what we do in baptism. And it involves far more than many of us realize. Holy baptism is a time when we engage with God in a most solemn manner, when we come before him and acknowledge that these children born into his church, if indeed the parents are in covenant with God, that these children were born in his church are his. And in token of that, we solemnly devote them and surrender them unto the Lord. They are his children. He has not only the right of creation over them, as the one who has given them life, but he has a right over them in covenant. And in recognition of this, we come with our children and we surrender ourselves and our children unto him, recognizing him to be our rightful Lord and undoubted King. You remember the complaint that Jehovah brought against the children of Israel in the days of Ezekiel, when they were causing their children to pass through the fire. Thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast borne unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed. Thou hast slain my children, saith the Lord, born unto me, my children. When he takes it ill when we devote our children to the world, not to the flesh or to the devil. Those children that are born in his church under the covenant are his by covenant right, and are to be devoted unto him. We are to disclaim all other gods and to surrender them unto Jehovah, unto the Father and unto the Son and unto the Holy Ghost. They are his children. And in token of that, we bring them and solemnly dedicate them and surrender them to him. And oh, that it might be in the hearts of all parents who are in this church, especially of those who have come here this morning with their offspring, to surrender themselves and their children unto the Lord, gladly, freely, willingly, and forever. May it be your purpose of heart, as it was the purpose of Joshua: as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He visits the sins of the fathers upon the children, and to the third and fourth generation of them that hate him,
that shows mercy unto thousands of them that love him and keep his commandments. For the second way I would suggest to you in which we may bring our children unto Christ is by praying for them, praying unto him for them as given up to him in baptism. We baptize them once, but we should pray for them constantly as having been devoted unto him in this solemn rite and ordinance. We are to pray unto him, they are thine, do thou then save them, O Lord. They are thine covenant, do thou therefore for this reason fulfill the promises made in thy covenant, even unto them, and have mercy upon them. Save them, O Lord, for they are thine. We should come before God as Abraham came with Ishmael. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. That should be our prayer. We should pray for them as those who have been outwardly sanctified and made holy and sacramentally regenerated through this ordinance, and having these outward signs and seals placed upon them, we should say, and we should say unto God and beg of him, that those who have been sacramentally regenerated may be really and actually and internally regenerated. That those who by reason of being born in the church are holy, as the Apostle Paul tells us in his epistle to the Corinthians, even where only one parent is in covenant with him. That those children who are outwardly holy and set apart to God may be inwardly sanctified by the grace of his Holy Spirit. Oh, and what need there is, isn't there, that we should pray for them? Born in sin and conceived in iniquity, we have brought children into this world who shall live forever, who shall either rejoice in the presence of God in heaven, or who shall lie forever in hell. And in our pleasure, we have brought these children into the world. And we should ask of God that he will have mercy upon them, and that he will make them his children indeed. You are not yet able to instruct your children. They have not yet reached to the years of discretion, but one thing you may do, and that I hope you will do constantly, and that is to pray for them. And what a blessing it shall be if much prayer is already ascended for them before ever you engage in the work of instructing them and teaching them the fear of the Lord. That's what Job did, you remember. He offered sacrifice for every one of his sons. He prayed for them, in other words, individually. There were special days when he labored in prayer for this child, and another day when he labored in prayer for that child. He made separate and special sacrifices for them. You remember how it was with Hannah. For this child, she said, I pray. What a blessing it is when we may look at our children and we may say, for this child I pray. And the Lord hath given me the prayer that I have asked of him. Oh, I would warn you against formal prayer. As you kneel with or before your children, as you pray with them afore them, oh, reflect where these children shall be that you have brought into the world. Shall they be in heaven, or shall they lie forever in hell? And oh, meditate upon this until concern wells up in your heart for your children, and you are brought to pray for them, to plead with God for them. Oh Lord, they are thine, because born in thy church. They are thine because they received the sign and seal of the covenant of grace. Save them, O Lord, for they are thine. Wash them and cleanse them in the blood of the Redeemer. I suggest to you another way in which you may bring our children unto Christ, and that is by submitting them to the disposal of His special providence. Our Lord, speaking of children born in the covenant, says this, that their angels in heaven do always behold the face of my Father. And though we are not warranted from Holy Scripture to believe that every child is a guardian angel, what we are warranted to believe is this, that children who are born in the church, in contradistinction from the children of the heathen, are born under the special providence of God, and that angels are sent to watch over them and to guard them. And in recognition of this, we are to dispose them unto God's special providence. Remember how it was with Jacob in blessing his children. The angel, he's speaking of Christ, of course, the angel of the covenant, the angel who redeemed me from all evil, bless the lad, he prayed. He who in his special providence delivered me, grant unto them the same blessings of his providence, keeping them from evil and prospering them in all their ways. You know, my friends, that as God is their creator, and as he is their God in covenant, we are to recognize his right over them. And we are to devote them unto Him and submit them unto His providence, whatever it may be. They are His, and He may do with His own whatsoever He pleases. He may take them away from Him while they are yet little in them, or He may spare them in life. It is His sovereign prerogative to do this what seemeth Him best. And oh, do we realize that in baptism we are submitting and surrendering our children unto Him in that way? We are saying unto Him, Lord, do with them whatsoever Thou pleasest. Oh, they may please Thee to have mercy upon them, never Thine foe. He has only loaned them unto you. And in baptism you come with your Samuel as did Hannah, and you lend them back unto the Lord, for Him to do with them whatsoever He pleases. The will of the Lord be done is the prayer of all those who surrender their children unto Him in holy baptism. Well, I suggest to you in the fourth place that we may bring them to Christ by submitting them unto Him as far as we can to the government of His grace. And it is a good beginning, my friends, a very good beginning, a beginning greater than you probably will ever be able to realize. It is a wonderful thing and a good beginning to bring your children unto Christ and to lay them as it were before Him and to seek His grace and His mercy for them, to bring them as best as you can under the rule of His grace. We are to bring them not only to baptism but also to church with us when they reach such an age that they are not a disturbance to the church. And when they reach such an age that we may believe that they may receive some profit by it.
He ought to bring them to church, and as it were, lay them by the pool of ordinances. Lay them by the side of that pool where the angel of the covenant is wont to come and trouble the waters to the healing of many. We are to do our utmost to bring them under the rule of His grace. We are to pray with our children. We are to pray affectionately with them and see to impress upon them the importance of spiritual things. Earnest, affectionate prayer. Pray with tears in the presence of your children as you plead to God for them. Let them hear you pray to God for them. Kneel down with them and let them hear your supplicating cries for mercy upon their never-dying souls. And in this way, it may be that their little hearts will be impressed. But oh, if they see their parents indifferent and cold and hard, what a wonder is it if children are any different? It is to be feared that many parents act towards their children in the same way that these disciples acted towards those who brought the little children on that occasion. They are the stumbling block in the way of godliness to their children. They are not a help to them, but they are in reality a stumbling block. Oh, what a tragedy it is when parents, instead of being a help to their children in the way of godliness, are actually a stumbling block to them. Oh, they learn from you. They learn what is your estimation of the ordinances of God, whether you prize them highly, whether you regard them as being of great importance. They hear how you speak of the ordinances and the worship and the day and the ministers of God. And these things they hear and they learn. And the opinions you have, they are the opinions they come to have. They are copies of you. They reflect your sentiments. Oh, think if that little child had been born in a home where God was loved and honored and where His ordinances tried. What a blessing it would have been for that child. And will you not wish such a blessing for your own children? You wish them well in this world. You work hard in order that you may give them a comfortable and a happy home. But what are you doing for the welfare of their immortal and never-dying soul? Can they see that these things you regard as being the most important things in the world? Or can they see by your attitude and the way you live and the way you conduct yourselves and the things you talk about that these things are of really very little importance in your estimation? Better for that man who hinders one of these little ones that a millstone was tied about his neck and that he was cast into the depths of the sea. We read the other day, perhaps, of that man who murdered all of his children in this city. But oh, there are thousands of fathers who murder the souls of their children by their ungodly conduct and ungodly conversation. Let us beware lest we are stumbling blocks to our children. Let us endeavor, beseeching God to help us, in no way to hinder them, but rather to encourage them and to direct them and lead them in the way of godliness, to teach them to the best of our ability. Oh, but you say, I am not able to teach my children. What a shame it is that you have come to such an age to have children and as yet not in a position to be able to teach them. What have you been doing all this while? What are the lost opportunities, the misspent Sabbath? But oh, it's never too late while we're in the land of the living, beg of God to help you. Read to them from the scripture, try to expound it to them. If you can't do that, buy a simple commentary and read it to them. Every one of you has time on a Sabbath afternoon to spend time with your children in
instructing them and teaching them. But if you neglect these opportunities, then what is your baptismal vow? Were they a mockery? Was it an empty, vain promise? Or were you taking it seriously? Oh, that this may weigh heavy upon your heart. May you reflect the good that parents can be to their parents, and may it be your prayer that you will not be a hindrance to them, but rather that you will be a help to them. Ask of God to help you, and He will hear your cry. We are to instruct them. We are to teach them. I would remind you that it is the duty of parents to teach the children the catechism. Or if they are not able to do this, which is most surprising if they are not able to do it, but anyway, the church has made opportunity for the instruction of children in the catechism. And parents are to see the children who have not yet made confession of faith attend the catechism course. This is the duty that devolves upon them. And if they have any respect whatsoever for the ordinances and for the governments of the church, they are to see to it that their children attend the catechism classes provided by the church. It is just appalling, the ignorance amongst the children, and not only amongst the children, but amongst many that are older. Go to a little Roman Catholic child of 7 years of age and she can tell you what her church stands for. Go to one of our children of 7 years of age and ask them, what does our church stand for? Well, how is it that a Roman Catholic child can know that and our children do not know that? We are to instruct them in the doctrines of Holy Scripture, in our catechisms and in our formularies. And God will help us if you seek His help in order to do it. Well, as time is rushing on, we shall just say a few things concerning the favor that we may expect Christ will show unto our children. Now you see the favor that Christ extended to these little children. On this occasion He took them up into His arms and put His hands upon them and He blessed them. He took them up into His arms with much endearing tenderness and bade Him welcome next to His heart. How different is the gospel from the law. You remember what Moses said? Have I conceived all this people, he said. Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father his sucking child? That was the complaint of Moses, but oh, see, the attitude of our gracious Lord and Savior. He feeds His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms and carries them in His bosom. What love He manifests towards little children. But what favor may we expect He will show if we devote and surrender our children to Him in that way? Well, we are not warranted to believe that if we surrender our children to Him in this way, that He is in duty bound to save their souls. Because the promises of the covenant bring obligations which rest upon the children themselves. And it is only as God enables them to fulfill those obligations that the promises are secured unto them. If you labor in prayer and devote your children to God in this way, and He is pleased to save your children, well, then you may have the comfort of knowing that God has heard your prayer. As Hannah, you may say, this for this child I prayed, and the Lord has hearkened unto my prayer. And if He is not pleased to receive them, if they grow up and instead of being prayerful themselves, they begin to hate prayer and to set at naught the obligations that rest upon them. Then you may have this comfort that in some measure you did all that you could to bring them before the Lord and to place them under the rule of His grace. That if your little children grow up to be despisers of the covenant, to be disobedient to those obligations that rest upon them, then the promises that God has made shall not be secured unto their souls. But this comfort you will have, that as far as in you lay, you did all that you could to bring them under the rule of His grace. But consider this. Although many children are in the kingdom of God, that many children from their earliest days have been washed in the blood of the Redeemer and sanctified by His Spirit, especially amongst those that are born in homes where parents are in covenant with God. Jesus said on this occasion, "Of such is the kingdom of God." That is, there are little children that are members of my kingdom. That's how it was with Jeremiah. And that's how it was with John the Baptist. You remember when he was yet in the womb, and Elizabeth came to Mary carrying, or rather Mary came to Elizabeth carrying the Lord Christ in her womb, that Elizabeth said that her approach, her babe leapt in her womb. And John the Baptist, while yet in the womb, at the near approach of Christ in the virgin's womb, leapt for joy, because his Savior drew near unto him. Marvelous things, aren't they? And yet little children often are included in the kingdom of Christ's grace. And many little children that have been called in infancy into the other world have evidenced it to the marvel and to the wonder of their parents. They have spoken of the angels that have come to bring them, of their anticipations of going to be with Jesus. Now consider the welcome that Christ shows that He gives to little children. His arms were outstretched to receive them. He lifted them up into His arms, and thereby shows His willingness to receive little children. Oh, let me say a word now to the little children in the light of all this. Consider, little children, what a loving Savior God has provided for sinners, that He was willing to take little babes into His arms and put His hands upon them and bless them. And oh, if you had been living then, wouldn't you have longed to have been able to climb into His arms and for the Lord of glory Himself to put His hands upon you and bless you? Oh, consider that He is willing to save you. Consider the love that is in the heart of Jesus for you. He loves little children. Little children, some little children belong to His kingdom. And oh, that it might be the prayer in your heart that Christ Jesus will bring you into His kingdom and make you one of those little children that are members of His kingdom. You ought to pray in a beautiful prayer that many children say in England. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child. Pity my simplicity. Suffer me to come to Thee in the kingdom of Thy grace. Grant a little child a place. Oh, go to Jesus and ask Him to grant you a place in His kingdom, to wash you from your sins. You must know that you're born sin and the power is bound up in your heart. asking God to show you what your heart is, how full of sin. How can you enter heaven who have told a lie and have committed many sins and displeased yourself? Heaven is shut against you unless you come to Jesus and ask him to wash you from your sins in his precious blood and to make you so that he can welcome you into heaven. Go to him and beg of him to do that for you. He was willing to receive all who came to him. Parents, as you instruct your children, remember to instruct them that they have been born in sin and conceived in iniquity, that they must be changed, that they must be renewed, that they must be washed in the blood of the Redeemer and sanctified by his Spirit. Teach them their sin and their misery and beg of God to reveal it unto them. But do more than that. Speak much of Christ to them, of his love and of his mercy to sinners, of his willingness to receive all who come to him. Teach them to go to him and to pray to him. Speak to them of his willingness to receive even little children, sinful and vile though they are. You know, we're surrounded by many who fall into the error, supposing that their children, by reason of the covenants being born in the church and being baptized, are born again. They do not say that they are born again, but they say we have to bring them up as those that have been born again. We must presume that as a basis for educating them. And so their education consists in telling them that they are the children of God, that Jesus died for them. And such many are built up into awful delusion. We must beware of that. But also we must beware of the opposite. That presuming that our children are not regenerate. You see, we do not know, and we are not called upon to presume anything whatsoever. We are not called upon to presume that they are or that they are not. All we have to do is to tell them that they have been born in sin, that God has made gracious promises to them in the covenant of his grace, and that obligations rest upon them, obligations of repentance towards God and of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are to teach them their sin, their ruin by their Adam fall, but also open to them in your instruction and in the preaching of the gospel to them, the way that is open for poor and needy sinners in Christ. Christ is the treasure hid in the field, and you must encourage your children to seek for him until they find the pearl of great price, until the treasure is there. Oh, then may God give you all grace to fulfill these obligations as parents. May he give the little children grace to come unto him as poor and needy, yea, as lost in themselves, but as helping in his covenant mercy, which was signed and sealed upon them at their baptism. In short, what are the three things that we need to know? Our sin and misery, the way of deliverance, and a life of thankfulness. Instruct your children in these things, and ye do well, and the blessing of the Lord shall rest upon you. Let us pray. Oh, our gracious God, we pray thee that thou would have mercy upon us, and that thou would apply unto us thy holy word. Oh, grant that our hearts may be open to receive it, that by thy word we may be warned and counseled and directed and instructed. O Lord, who thou teach us and our children the fear of thy name, we thank thee for thy blessings that thou hast showered upon us, for the means of grace, for the ordinances of thy worship, and the presence of thy Spirit. O, may we prize these highly. Grant, O Lord, that thou blessest in so doing. We pray that of this respect unto all the needs of this congregation, for the sick and the afflicted, for the grieving and the mourning and the sorrowing, oh, be with them. We pray thee for that one who has returned to our midst from abroad. Oh Lord, thou spare him to this present time. Oh Lord, we pray thee that thou bless him as once again he comes amongst us. Have mercy upon us all, we pray thee. Pardon our many sins. Wash us and cleanse us in the blood of the Redeemer. For Jesus' sake. Amen.